Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by CWB and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past. Chapter 16. Tama, Sun. The moon is at the peak of its ascent, and the colony is aflutter with talk about the new Cancelpang. Sherlock has questioned both Mycroft and Olive, but neither will tell him anything of substance. He decides to approach Seeger, and finds himself more nervous than he was the first time he talked with Elder Erebus. His relationship with Seeger has always been somewhat formal. He remembers those first few weeks on his father's feet, with hazy affection, but they've had infrequent, brief interactions since then. Sherlock doesn't think of him as Papa. He thinks of him as Seeger. He finds his father at the temporary council grounds, just after a private meeting has ended. Seeger looks tired and frustrated, and Sherlock worries that this might not be the best time. He pauses and is about to turn away when Seeger sees him and calls out, "Son!"
"Yes, sir."
"Your timing is impeccable. I've been meaning to talk to you, as you have me." Sherlock closes the distance and bows his head in respect to his father's position. He is startled to feel Seeger's cheek on the crown of his head, brushing with unexpected tenderness. "My youngest," he says, pulling up to his full height. "My son, first and foremost, do not bow, Sherlock. It only reminds me how I've neglected you, that you see me as your leader instead of your father."
"It's all right, sir. You've been swamped with the needs of the colony and council. It hasn't been an easy time for you."
Seeger smiles and lays his wing on Sherlock's shoulder. "That's no excuse, but thank you for trying to cover for me. Tell me what's on your mind, Tama." Sherlock looks up at his father. He finds him quite awe-inspiring, with his noble bill, his tall stature, his sharp eyes. Is this what leadership looks like? Seeger seems to radiate understated power and intelligence. Was he born with these traits, or did he acquire them? Was he taught? Sherlock experiences a rush of regret that he hasn't made it his business to know his father better. But just as quickly, he hears the senior Peng's answer as if he had spoken out loud.
"All in good time, Sherlock. You're only young yet. We have years."
The words bring comfort.
"Father, everyone is talking about the new Cancelpang."
"Ah, yes. And what are they saying?"
"Mostly rumors, sir, and everything I've heard contradicts something else. There are rumors that he is too young, too old, that he has strange ideas from faraway places, that he is a genius, that he is a wizard."
Sherlock pauses to take a breath.
"Rumors that his placement has caused great dissension on the council, rumors that he is not from our colony, not even an emperor."
"Dear me. Slow down, child, slow down. That certainly is a confusing mess then, isn't it?"
Sherlock nods and searches his father's face for any clues he might find, but Seeger only smiles and shrugs.
"I can't say I blame everyone for their curiosity. We haven't had a new Cancelpang since Mycroft, and he was a very well-known entity to all. I must admit, however, I find it somewhat alarming that anyone would think the new member would be anything but an emperor.
Surely they have more faith in us than that."
"If I may, Father, I suspect it has more to do with the lack of common sense than faith."
Seeger chuckles, and Sherlock feels relief surge through him, because if there is any humor here to be found, the situation can't be so dire. He starts to giggle.
What if he were a walrus?" he says in a fit of imagination. "Or a pelican, or maybe a pufferfish. Whenever he disagreed in session, he'd blow up and you'd all have to wait for him to deflate again."
Seeger snorts, laughing hard enough to shake his considerable belly. He wipes a wing over his eyes, then pulls Sherlock toward him in a hug and kisses the top of his head.
"Oh, I needed that. I truly did. Thank you, son. Maybe you should go back and tell everyone that I confirmed that the new Cancelpang is an ancient wizard pufferfish who intends to turn us all to ice."
"Oh, Papa," he says, surprising himself with a hatchling term of endearment, No one would believe that.
No, probably not. You're right. Well, tell them that they'll find out soon enough, as we're calling for a hui 2 nights from now, and all will be made clear at that time. In the meantime, I'd like to talk to you about something else.
Sherlock nods and listens.
John and Lester are laughing as Sherlock approaches, Lester's deeper chuckle a pleasant undertone for John's higher giggle. Sherlock stands back for a moment and observes them, unaware of the goofy smile on his face. John acts out a scene with great animation, and then Lester joins in, and they both dissolve into hysteria. What on the ice are they doing? He doesn't even really mind when Mycroft skids to a stop by his side, rights himself, and clears his throat. He pretends to be put out anyway.
I'm busy, Mycroft. Go away.
Yes, I see that, brother dear. And how exhausting it must be for you, admiring your tahu from afar.
Mycroft glances over at the other two pangs.
Pray tell, what are they doing?
I think they're trying to imitate the rockhoppers, but I'm not certain.
Mycroft hums as he considers.
Northern or southern? Irrelevant, as the geographical location wouldn't alter their method of locomotion. I suspect you are right.
Sherlock tries not to fall over in shock. The effort of doing so results in an extended period of repeated blinking.
Anyway, Mycroft continues, how did your talk with Father go? I hear he's filled you in.
He has.
And you're satisfied with the arrangements?
I have no cause not to be.
Just so.
Sherlock and Mycroft watch John fold his wings back, jut his neck out, and push off with both feet in an attempt to hop. He falls flat on his belly. And then Lester joins him, and the two of them howl like elephant seals.
Right. I'll just leave you to it, then.
Laters, Mycroft.
Sherlock drops to his belly and kicks against the ice, propelling himself in John's direction. He and Lester are still carrying on like complete idiots, but Sherlock's chest is suffused with affection and warmth. He likes that John can have fun, that he's not self-conscious and shy, the way Sherlock tends to feel around other pangs. As he draws near, he realizes that he's expecting to feel something else there, too, nestled in with his affection. Something he'd normally feel when in close proximity to John's other friends. Insecurity. There's no room for it now, though. Not after John's proclamations and touches and whispers. John has chosen Sherlock as his best pang, and more. When he reaches John, he drags his wings at his side, slowing himself, then pops back up to stand in front of the ridiculous rockhopper impersonators.
Hey, Sherlock, look! Who am I?
He watches John fold over into lunge position, wiggle his tail feathers, and then try to hop. He gets no lift whatsoever, topples over bill first, then bursts into giggles again. Next to him, Lestra prepares for his next try.
You're an Aptinodites Forsteri trying to bend your incompatible anatomy into the shape of a Eudyptes Fiholi, for the purpose of hopping simultaneously on 2 feet, and you are failing abysmally.
Oi, Lester, did he just call me an abysmal failure?
He did, mate,
Lester answers from where he sprawled over the ice. John launches at Sherlock, knocks him down, then rolls in an attempt to put him in a headlock. They grapple and slide, laughing, until Sherlock is on his belly and John has 1 foot on a wing and the other on his back, and both wings around his neck. Sherlock thrills in John's victory. He has no need to move. Ever.
Take it back, Chopin. Take it back right now.
John growls against his oral patch. Sherlock goes a bit limper.
No, never.
John presses down harder on Sherlock's back, curving his spine so that his tail comes up high in the air. Nope, never moving.
What am I, Chopin? Am I an abysmal failure? Only a being a rockhopper, you bang it.
John laughs and whispers in his ear.
Tell me what I'm good at and I'll let you up.
Sherlock might be melting the ice underneath him.
You're exceptionally good at being adorable, and you're the embodiment of everything that drives me mad in all the best ways.
Lestrade, who has been grooming his chest and belly in an effort to ignore them, clucks in disgust and shakes his head.
You two are beyond hope. I'm going fishing.
John lets Sherlock up and helps him wipe off the drops of ice and frost clinging to his feathers. Sherlock suspects he's not nearly as mussed as John's comprehensive brushing would indicate. He ruffles his feathers to release the warm air trapped against his body and resettles.
Where have you been, then? John asks. Talking with my father, he had some very interesting news to share. Can you tell me?
Some of it, yeah.
Ice cave?
Ice cave, definitely.
Notes, Maori translations. Papa, father, daddy, da. Tama, son, child. Hui, meeting, conference. Tahu, boyfriend, object of affection, lover.